Chapter 79. But you must go. The child's fingers are pulled away. Exit the canopy with the King of Rome, who is heard screaming as he is carried down the staircase.
Madame de Montesquieu, I feel the child is right. A premonition has enlightened him. She ought to stay. But, the die is cast.
Madame de Montesquieu and the remainder of the party follow, and the room is left empty. Enter servants hastily.
First servant, sacred God, where are we to go to for grub and good lying tonight? What are ill-used men to do? Second servant, I trudge like the rest. All the true philosophers are gone, and the middling true are going. I made up my mind like the truest that ever was as soon as I heard the general alarm beat. Third servant, I stay here. No allies are going to tickle our skins. The storm which roots does know what a metaphor is, comrade. I brim with them at this historic time. Second servant, a weapon of war used by the Cossacks? Third servant, your imagination will be your ruin someday, my man. It happens to be a weapon of wisdom used by me. My metaphor is one mayst have met with on the rare times, when fast been in good society. Here it is. The storm which roots the pine spares the PSBD now, do you see? First and second servants, good. Your teaching, friend, is as sound as true religion. We'll not go. Hearken to what's doing outside.
Carriages are heard moving. Servants go to the window and look down.
Lord, there's the Duchess getting in. Now the mistress of the wardrobe. Now the ladies of the palace. Now the prefects. Now the doctors. What a time it takes. There are near a dozen Berlines, as I am a patriot. Those other carriages bear treasure. How quiet the people are. It is like a funeral procession. Not a tongue cheers her. Third servant, now there will be a nice convenient time for a little good victuals and drink, and likewise pickings, before the allies arrive, thank Mother Molly.
From a distant part of the city bands are heard playing military marches. Guns next resound. Another servant rushes in.
Fourth servant, Montmartre is being stormed, and bombs are falling in the Chaussee d'Antin.
Exit fourth servant.
Third servant, pulling something from his hat, then it is time for me to gird my armor on. Second servant, what hast there?
Third servant holds up a crumpled white cockade, and sticks it in his hair. The firing gets louder.
First and second servants, hast got another? Third servant, pulling out more, here they are, at a price.
The others purchase cockades of third servant. A military march is again heard. Re-enter fourth servant.
Fourth servant, the city has capitulated. The allied sovereigns, so it is said, will enter in grand procession tomorrow. The Prussian cavalry first, then the Austrian foot, then the Russian and Prussian foot, then the Russian horse and artillery. And to cap all, the people of Paris are glad of the change. They have put a rope round the neck of the statue of Napoleon on the column of the Grand Army, and are amusing themselves with twitching it and crying, "Strangle the tyrant!"
Second servant, well, well, there's rich colors in this kaleidoscopic world.
Third servant, and there's comedy in all things, when they don't concern you. Another glorious time among the many we've had since 89. We have put our armor on none too soon. The Bourbons forever.
He leaves, followed by first and second servants.
Fourth servant, my faith, I think I'll turn Englishman in my older years, where there's not these trying changes in the Constitution.
Follows the others. The Allies' military march waxes louder as the scene shuts.
Scene IV, Fontainebleau. A room in the palace,
Napoleon is discovered walking impatiently up and down, and glancing at the clock every few minutes. Enter Ney.
Napoleon, without a greeting, well the result? But your looks display a leaden dawning to the light you bring. What not a regency? What not the empress, to hold it in trusteeship for my son? Ney, sire, things like revolutions turn back, but go straight on. Imperial governance is coffin for your family and yourself. It is declared that military repose, and France's well-doing, demand of you your abdication unconditioned, sheer. This verdict of the sovereigns cannot change, and I have pushed on hot to let you know. Napoleon, with repression, I am obliged to you. You have told me promptly. This was to be expected. I had learned of Marmont's late defection, and the Sixth's, the consequence I easily inferred. Nay, the Paris folk are flaked with white cockades. Tricolors choke the kennels. Rapturously they clamor for the Bourbons and for peace. Napoleon, tartly, I can draw inferences without assistance. Nay, persisting, they see the brooks of blood that have flowed forth. They feel their own bereavements. So their mood asks no deep reasoning for its geniture. Napoleon, I have no remarks to make on that just now. I'll think the matter over. You shall know by noon tomorrow my definitive. Nay, turning to go, I trust my saying, what had to be said has not affronted you. Napoleon, bitterly, no, but your haste in doing it has galled me, and has shown me a heart that heaves no longer in my cause. The skilled coquetting of the government has nearly won you from old fellowship. Well, till tomorrow, Marshal, then adieu. Nay goes. Enter Colincourt and MacDonald. Nay has got here before you, and, I deem, has truly told me all. Colincourt, we thought at first we should have had success. But fate said no, and abdication, making no reserves, is, sire, we are convinced, with all respect, the only road, if you care not to risk the Empress, loss of every dignity, and magnified misfortunes thrown on France. Napoleon, I have heard it all, and don't agree with you. My assets are not quite so beggarly that I must close in such a shameful bond. What do you rate as not, that I am yet full 50,000 strong, with Augereau, and Soult, and such a true, and many more? I still may know to play the imperial game as well as Alexander and his friends. So you will see. Where are my maps? Eh, where? I'll trace campaigns to come. Where's my paper, ink, to schedule all my generals and my means? Colincourt, sire, you have not the generals you suppose. MacDonald, and if you had, the mere anatomy of a real army, sire, that's left to you, must yield the war. A bad example tells. Napoleon, ah, from your manner it is worse, I see, than iconize. Oh Marmont, Marmont, yours was the bad sad lead. I treated him, as if he were a son. Defended him, made him a marshal out of sheer affection, built, as twere rock, on his fidelity. Forsake who may, I said, I still have him. Child that I was, I looked for faith in friends. Then be it as you will. Ney's manner shows, that even he inclines to Bourbonry. I feign to leave France thus curtailed, pared down from her late spacious borders. Of the whole this is the keenest sword that pierces me. But all's too late. My course is closed, I see. I'll do it now. Call in Bertrand and Ney, let them be witness to my finishing. In much agitation he goes to the writing table, and begins drawing up a paper. Bertrand and Ney enter, and behind them are seen through the doorway the faces of Constant the valet, Roustan the Mameluke, and other servants. All wait in silence till the Emperor has done writing. He turns in his seat without looking up. Napoleon, reading, it having been declared by the Allies, that the prime obstacle to Europe's peace is France's empery by Napoleon, this ruler, faithful to his oath of old, renounces for himself and for his heirs the throne of France and that of Italy, because no sacrifice, even of his life, is he averse to make for France's gain. And hereto do I sign. He turns to the table and signs. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.